Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
There are no rules. There are no rules. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. There are no rules. Now, is your journey going to be a little more difficult? Are there some other obstacles you may have to endure? Maybe, maybe not. But an obstacle is just something you have to get around, right?
That's it.
And so I looked at him, and this is the guy who represents everybody from Meryl Streep to Tom Cruise. I mean, this is the guy, right? He said, there are no rules. And I said, that makes sense to me. It resonated. And from there on, God is my judge. I never thought about my age. I really didn't. And as I got older, I got more successful. And the times where people are saying, oh my God, the work gets thin, it become abundant. Abundant. Yeah. So there are no rules. Work hard. Outwork everybody you possibly can. And you got to believe.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very delightful treat. He's a dynamic superstar Hollywood actor, martial artist, and mental health advocate. No big deal. He's appeared in some of the biggest movies on the planet, such as Marvel's Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and Civil War, the Purge franchise, Zero Dark Thirty, the hit TV show Billions, and one of my all-time personal favorite films, Warrior, just to name a few. He's one of the most multifaceted actors working today, and he often steals the show in everything he appears in. True story. He's become a beacon of hope and inspiration for millions dealing with their mental health, and he's a shining example of grit and resilience. He's just a juggernaut in all facets of life and a terrific father. Please welcome the definition of cool, the extremely hardworking and relentless, the trailblazing and authentic, handsome Frank Grillo. How you doing, Frank?
Man, that's got to be the best introduction I've ever had in my life. I mean, we could stop right there, brother.
I'm so glad I did good by you. And it's,
that's great.
Yeah, you feel elevated? You good?
Oh my God. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to live up to that.
I'm so excited for today. I'm genuinely a diehard fan, and I know a little bit more below the surface than most people probably do about you. The funny part is we probably could have chatted for an hour, and then at some point I was like, let's hold some of this juicy stuff for the show. For the audience listening, we're about 4 million now. In case you're living under the rock and you're not familiar, do yourself a favor. Do a deep dive on Frank. Check out everything he's got going on, his content, all the stuff he talks about in regards to mental health, his movies. What I think is most valuable today is we just have an unbelievable conversation. Before we dive in, we're going to get a little weird. You ready for me, Frank?
I'm ready for you, brother.
What is your superpower?
Kindness. Yeah. Kindness. What? And by the way, it wasn't always. It was a learned superpower part of the benefits of getting older and hopefully wiser.
Definitely wiser.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm only 37 years young, but at some point my life's just getting started because I reinvented myself. But something that I know now to be true is that you can read all you want, a book, you can hire a mentor and so forth, but sometimes you just have to go through life and get that experience to become wiser. Would you agree?
Oh my gosh. I mean, look, you know, now more than ever, we have at our fingertips through the internet and through books and different publications, we have so much information. That being said, you need to live life. You need to experience it. I mean, you could punch a bag every day for 4 hours a day. You still can't get in the ring and fight. You know, it's, you've got to live it. You've got to spar life and you got to get knocked down. And it's interesting because you're reinventing yourself at 37. I reinvented myself at 47. Yeah. You know, it never stops. You never get to an age where you go, oh, now I'm here. I'm at an age where I know everything. I got it. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, I mean, every day is I say it every day. You got to learn every day something.
Hell yeah. And also, as you continue to evolve and grow and spread your wings, you're not the same cat you were 2 years ago, right?
No.
So you have a different perspective.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting also is that we must get rid of people around us that tried to anchor us to our past, right? Yeah. It might be an ex. It might be friends that you grew up with that just haven't gone on your journey with you. And, you know, they try to anchor you to your past. And sometimes they remind you of maybe your very worst times in life. And you can't, it's not going to serve you. You got to let it go. You got to let them go.
Yeah.
Important. It really is.
Hell yeah. And that's where we dropped the mic, but we're just getting started. Before we continue, I want to acknowledge you for something. I'm a movie nerd. I love this stuff, the comic book, all of it. It's always been my thing. And the moment I saw you, I'll never forget, because I went to go see the movie Warrior with my brother, my best friend, always loved Tom Hardy. And I was like, I don't know this guy, but he's awesome. Stole the show. And ever since I was introduced to you, brother, every single thing that you were in, you stole the show. And I want to acknowledge you for that. VMI Sports is the premier and fastest growing brand in sports nutrition, bar none. Their products help me clang and bang in the gym and facilitate consistently faster PRs, marathon after marathon, no big deal. A few products that I personally want to brag about are as follows. The KXR pre-workout, full dose of beta-alanine for strength and endurance, and has ingredients for cognition and focus, having me sharp as a tack. I also want to mention their Protolite protein, consisting of 100% whey isolate, which is easily digestible and facilitates hydration, and my personal favorite, has the best flavors in the market, such as vanilla cake batter and cinnamon crunch. If you want to combine feeling and looking like $1 billion in all facets of life and during your workouts, go to VMISports.com, use code CLS, and thank me later. I only partner with the best. You dig?
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, I really do. It means a lot to me to hear that. And I, you know, it's not by happenstance. It's like I worked hard and took every opportunity to its fullest. And in some cases, you know, you outwork people and your star shines a little bit brighter than theirs. And all of a sudden, that little thing that you thought you were doing turned into something that is a bit life changing. And Warrior was one of them. Warrior was, you know.
I know that was a pivotal moment. And just going back, just to give the audience a little context, You had been acting and you wanted to do that in a big way for quite some time, but it didn't hit as early as some other people. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you were doing the Wall Street thing also. And then you kind of got a big break a little bit later on. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I was kind of working on Wall Street I worked on Wall Street for about 9 months out of school and during school. I had an opportunity to go work on a soap opera in my late 20s. And I was getting to the point where, you know, you're in your late 20s, you feel like you're getting old. And I said, I'm going to go do this. And that was my first journey into only acting. And from there, I never had a real job. So I only always acted. And I was under the radar for many years. I always worked. I was always on a TV show and, you know, never the star of the TV show. And I just kind of kept getting better and better. And, you know, I did a couple of big TV shows. And then my friend Gavin O'Connor called me. We did a movie called Pride and Glory, which was me and Colin Farrell and Ed Norton. It was a really good movie. And again, I had a smaller role that caught the attention of a lot of big agents. And I got signed by one of them. And then Gavin put me in Warrior. And I think that was a long time ago. And that changed my whole, that made me a movie actor. That put me in the movie business, do you know? And then I, you know, through things like Captain America, I did The Gray. It was another huge opportunity for me. And even as recently as 5 years ago, when I did Kingdom, I did a series called Kingdom that was very, very popular. That changed me as a leading man in television. And so it's constantly an evolution. It doesn't stop, you know?
Yeah.
I'm at an age where a lot of guys are trying to find work because they kind of stagnated because they hit it young and they stagnated. They didn't try to get better.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have several friends, you know, Bradley Cooper being one of them. You'll hear him talk about all the time. he's a hugely successful star, director, sure. actor, Academy. The thing about Cooper is every time I hear him speak, he always wants to be better. And there's something to that. You know, it's that Tom Brady effect where always, you know, in some cases at the cost of other things, you know.
My soul. I knew there was going to be synergy here, but I know exactly what you mean. Maybe it's a gift and a curse. It's that mentality like you've never arrived. And as a result, right. you never get complacent. But at the same time, you're always hungry.
That's right. You treat the last like the first and the first. I mean, it's the song that Jay-Z sings. Every time I go to work, I treat it as if it's the first time and the last time I'm ever going to work. Right. So I'm excited to be there every time. And I work as hard as I can as if it's going to be the last time. And that's what perpetuates more work and more good work. And, you know, it's the complacency and it's the lack of being grateful, not only in my business, obviously in anything you do in life, I think that causes people to stagnate and you know, not grow. And then eventually you find yourself in a position that's not very comfortable.
Yeah, beautifully said. And I'm just curious, right off the cuff, you mentioned Bradley and he obviously stepped into the directing thing. Is that something that you might be interested at some point is directing?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, as long as I've known Bradley and I don't know him. I know him fairly well. We're not friends. We're friendly. But, you know, he was on that trajectory from when he was a young man. He saw it, you know, and he struggled with substance, which is no secret, and came out the other side. And he's, just, you know, guy directed his first movie and he got nominated for Oscars. You know, that's not an accident.
No.
Success is not an accident ever. And so I talk about it all the time. I mean, I repeat something that all of us have, I think, either read or heard about, and that's the 10,000 hours.
Yes.
You know, you got to put in the time, man. And anyone you see that's successful has put in time, has put in the time.
So beautifully said. And people always look to me like, I can't believe what you've done with your brand in 2 years' time. When I first started this thing, I had 300 Instagram followers. But what they don't see is two things. Number one, I've been working on myself and my inner game for 15 years, personal development, sharpening the axe, working on my mindset. And then also in the beginning of the pandemic, when a lot of people were doing a lot of Netflix and day drinking, I started this thing and I was working 18, 19 hour days because that's what it took in the beginning. But nothing will ever substitute reps, right? Especially in the beginning.
Yep. And you're right. Look, you know, a lot of people want to go out and be good time Charlies when they're younger. They want to be at all the parties and they don't want to miss out on anything. They want to have fun. And then, you know, they're wondering why these other people, you know, 10 years later are living in the big houses and you know, having a nice life. And those weren't the people you saw out.
Right.
You know, every night. It's like, it's about sacrifice, man. Like I'm friends with a lot of fighters and, you know, these guys, they're not out drinking and partying and, you know, whatever you see them celebrating after they fight is that's about it. It's like sacrifice. They have to sacrifice everything to get what you want. And, you know, instill that in my kids. You know, my son just directed his first movie and he's 25. And the first cut of the movie was horrific. It was terrible. And my friend Gavin O'Connor, who directed Warrior, and I, we watched the movie and we gave him copious notes. And afterwards, and I saw he was upset. And I said, hey, man, now the work begins. You could go one of two ways. You can shit the bed and think this is a movie and it's you'll never work again. Or you take our notes and you go and you make a movie. And 4 months later, he's took our advice, worked really hard, and he's about to finish something that I think we're all going to be really proud of. But that went either way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's about how much you want to put into something.
Yes, you're such a stud. And it's like the big difference between being interested or being committed. Right. Like,
right. Right.
Yeah. And I want to ask you because when you were first getting it going and maybe you didn't land that Warrior role just yet, did you ever get dejected or you were just in love with the process?
Oh, bro, I hated. Listen, I'm not going to lie and say, you know, I must have been on fucking 5,000 auditions and they all said no, you know. And at some point you go, oh, wait a minute. I must really suck. Like, did I actually find something? Because my whole life, whether it was sports or school, you know, when I put my mind to it, I succeeded, right? Yeah. Acting, it's not an applied science. I mean, I don't care how much you study, or you still may never get a job, right? Well, and so there was
most people don't.
Right. And there was so much no. And I was getting to an age, I had a kid already, and I was getting to an age that I was starting to feel like I was going to be outsourced. And it was a scary proposition. And my one friend and mentor, Kevin Uvain, who is one of the senior partners and owners of CAA, my agency, which is the biggest agency in the world. You know, we sat down one night, and this was long before Warrior. And he said, what's wrong? I said, oh, man, I'm like almost 40, and I keep doing these shows, and they get canceled. And he goes, what's the problem? He goes, I said, I'm done, man. I'm almost 40. He goes, oh, you're done. Oh, you're 40. You're done. And he said, can you show me where you read this? I go, come on, man. You know what I'm talking about. 40, it's kind of over. He goes, in your mind, it's over. But in reality, nobody's thinking about you and how old you are, okay, except for you. He said, here's my one piece of advice. And I've carried this with me, and I've said it on talk shows and podcasts, and I say it every day to a person who asks me about how did you do this or that. And I say, first and foremost, there are no rules. There are no rules. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. There are no rules. Now, is your journey going to be a little more difficult? Are there some other obstacles you may have to endure? Maybe, maybe not. But an obstacle is just something you have to get around, right?
That's it.
And so I looked at him, and this is a guy who represents everybody from Meryl Streep to Tom Cruise. Nobody. I mean, this is the guy, right? And he said, there are no rules. And I said, that makes sense to me. It resonated. And from there on, God is my judge. I never thought about my age. I really didn't. And as I got older, I got more successful. And the times where people are saying, oh my God, the work gets thin, it become abundant. Abundant. Yeah. So there are no rules. Work hard. Outwork everybody you possibly can. And you got to believe.
Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh, organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to NutritionSolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig.
I mean, you have to believe and never stop getting better. Like, that's it. There's no secret. That's it.
This is awesome. And for the audience, run that back, grab a journal, and so many things to unpack there. First of all, you are abundant by that. And I love that word. And like, what really happened there? Like, you still were aging. We're all aging every day, but you changed your vibration, right? All of a sudden, what was a limitation was like, it's just an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
It's a frequency, and you became available and a vibrational match for all the abundance out there. Whereas if you were thinking about, oh, am I over the hill too? That's blocking. It's interference. So
of course it is.
Yeah. And we're all meant to be abundant and infinite, but you realize it, you became aware, and then you removed it, and then you were available.
Right. And, you know, I think that, you know, Buddha said, like, the other thing was, you know, when I was at a certain point, I was trying to pull success towards me. Right. Yeah. If I had a little, I wanted to pull it towards me. Right. And I wanted to push away all the things. I wanted to make believe I wasn't getting older. I wanted to push that away. Right. And Buddha said, if you desire something, don't pull it too close. Or if you don't desire something and you're afraid of it, don't try to push it away. Because once you move your hands, that thing that you're trying to pull is going to go away. the thing you're trying to push is going to come back. So let it be, like John Lennon sang, let it be. And it's easier said than done. Yes. To just accept things, right? To just be, and know you're not going to control this, that, and a third, but you have to be in it, accept it, and understand it is going to move like everything else in life. Now, it's taken me a long time to get to that place, to get to a place where I'm not reactionary over people or over obstacles and things. I don't worry about money anymore. It finds its way to me. It always finds its way to me. I don't desire too much, which is a dangerous mechanism, desire, right? Those who desire too much are fools, right? The desire can kill a person. It really can. Too much desire, which is something else I instill in my children, is not to think just because something is out there that you need to have it. Right. And I know I'm going all over the place.
No, but this is awesome.
It all kind of circles back into how I exist.
This is exactly what the audience needs to hear right now. And I love all of it. And also, like, something that I've really been working on is understanding both the masculine and the feminine energy. And from my understanding, the feminine energy, as opposed to the masculine, which is go, 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 the feminine is a little bit more be and allow and receive. And once I really started buying into that, just as you just attested to and explained, things started to gravitate towards me.
Right. That's exactly. And you know what? We're just discovering it. We didn't invent it. What we're talking about, the philosophies we're talking about, are thousands of years old.
Yep.
Thousands of years old. And, you know, you can go back even, and, you know, I like to read the Stoics, the, you know, Seneca, Marcus Aurelius stuff. And when you kind of really start to follow it, you're like, wow, they knew that a long time ago, before there was information available, before there was a global community, right? These guys were living a life that for me now works. That's how I live my life. And I'm like you, there's two kinds of people. There's believers, and that those people, you know, I mean, religion, organized religion, if you're a follower of organized religion, which is fine, you're a believer. You have to be a believer, right? I have to believe everything that you're telling me up there as the priest, or, you know, and I have to believe it to have blind faith, right? Or you're a seeker. And I find myself fitting into that category where I'll listen to what that person has to say. I might take a few of those morsels and keep them with me because they've resonated. But I'm constantly seeking other people's information because I think there's a great value in a broad scope of knowledge as opposed to just being a believer of one thing. And that, again, too, has opened my eyes up to humanity. And again, to kindness and to fix the ways. I grew up in a very aggressive, masculine Italian New York household.
I know you
filled
did.
With boys and men that were not concerned with anything but putting food on the table. They didn't care whose feelings they hurt. They weren't interested in what we had to say as kids. It's a very difficult. Now that I look back at it, it was loving in its own way. It's a very difficult way for a child to grow up.
Yeah.
And I unlearned, and I'm still unlearning, a lot of the traumas and the beliefs of my family, you know. And that's the other thing I do is I give people now, I never used to, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know how you were raised, right? So if you're reacting to me in a certain way or you're struggling with something professionally or personally in a certain way, it probably has something to do with how you were raised and whatever childhood trauma that you or most of us had. And so that's another thing that's entered my life and that has created a whole new aspect of who I am as a man.
Yeah.
How I deal with my kids, how I deal with my coworkers, how I deal with friends, how I deal with women. I'm divorced. I've been married my whole entire adult life. I've been divorced for the past 3 years. I didn't really know much about women. I really didn't. I mean, I was set in my ways, and it's been an incredible learning experience. And again, I bring it all back to being a seeker and wanting to get better every day.
Yeah. That's it. And where do we begin, right? So much nugget, so many nuggets there. And I love that I'm also a seeker. And to be honest with you, I didn't really like identify it until you just explained it. And I was like, that's me, right? Because you take what you like from certain things and then you leave the rest, but you kind of have to lean into it and experiment and see it for yourself.
Right. You really do. And you know, I've traveled the whole world. I've been lucky enough to travel the whole world. And, I remember going to Israel. And, there are different levels of religious people in Israel. You know, there are people who are very westernized and they look like they're from New York and they live in Tel Aviv and, you know, they drink a happy hour every night. And then there's very serious religious people that live a certain specific life. And to the outsider, it's almost cultish, right? But I got to sit and speak with those people as much as I did the people that reminded me of myself. And I took so much from people who I normally probably wouldn't have the opportunity to get close to.
Yeah.
And that's when you open your eyes and you realize, wow, I've been living in a little tiny bubble in some aspects of my life, right? Some aspects I'm always growing. Some aspects I needed to open myself up to. Yeah, man. And it's been amazing.
It's like, it reminds me of I like to say, when you become unplugged from the matrix and then all of a sudden you start seeing all these things and you have a whole new perspective, everything shifts.
I know. You know, I used to really love listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer. Do you remember Wayne Dyer?
Love him.
And he used to say, if you change the way you see the world you see will change. And it was always like the most profound sentence. Like, I change the way I see the world I see will change. That's amazing and true,
yes.
Right? It's like you said, the vibration, if you change your frequency and your vibration just a little bit, it's like somebody takes a cover down and go, oh, that was there the whole time. You just weren't allowed to see it.
Right. And yeah, exactly what you said earlier, like, I'm approaching 40, that it's over, but wait a minute, time out. With a different perspective, says who? There are no rules. Now all of a sudden you look at it from a different angle. Now everything opens up.
Yeah, brother, I've been to places in Africa where the elders in the community are not allowed to speak until they're 50 because they consider everybody under 50 not knowledgeable enough. They're kids. They consider them. Now, these people live to be well into their hundreds. But imagine that. Like, you're thinking, I'm going to be 40. Now, I'm 57. I can't believe
it. Are you?
Yes.
Come on.
And so I look at you at 37 and I go, you have no idea how much you're going to learn in the next 7 years from where you are now. Like, it's going to be profound,
brother,
right?
You're doing something really right, I just want to say.
No, you know, you got to live a certain, I do. I live a certain lifestyle and I train every day. I put in my body what my body needs and doesn't just want. And I try to live a good life. That's what it is. And I've been, knock wood, I've been fortunate enough to stay healthy and look younger than I do. Not that it matters, but I do. I get to, people get to be surprised when I tell them I'm 57 years old, you know.
My mind was just blown. And I didn't mean to interrupt your thought, but you were saying when I'm in 7 years from now.
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm in the gym and I train every day with some pros and some amateurs and some, you know, regular Joes. And I outwork all of them. Outwork the pros. I work with the pro. We do strength and conditioning. Justin Fortune is my trainer. He trains Pacquiao. He's strength and condition. I outwork him because I know my body and I know how to push it. Right. When you're 25 and you're just all piss and vinegar, You can, right? You're exhausting yourself. I know how not to do. So it's, there's some great things with getting older, right? We said it earlier in getting wiser. And I don't know where I heard it, but I heard it recently where it's a shame for a man to grow old and not know what his body is capable of.
What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action. Drop in gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to cultivatelastingsymphony.com and then bang, enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig?
Because we in the West have been raised to think you get older, you get frail. Not true. It's just, it's, that's a Western way of thinking. I mean, I'm in the best shape of my life. I get stronger and stronger. And it's here, man. It really is. And that's part of why I continue to work the way I work, because I do these action movies, and whether they're big or small, and you know, I'm the leader. And so I got to be the most fit, and I've got to be on set the earliest, and I've got to stay the latest. And, you know, and that's all part of conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're conditioning this or your physicality, you've got to stay conditioned.
Yeah. This is also part of your identity. Like, you don't really see limitations where most people do. Like,
no.
You stay on fire, you perform at an elite level. You believe that you got to set the tone and lead by example. And who should tell you otherwise?
Right. Who, you know, I got a guy in my gym, Joe Russo. He's 82. Last week he was in there sparring with a 25-year-old kid, and they were moving around. And I'm like, that guy's 82 years. My father died when he was 71, never exercised. This guy's 82. He's in there every day. In his mind,
yeah,
82 means nothing. He's not stopping, right? And so I look at that guy. You think I'm not learning something from him?
Of course.
Yeah.
This is all. Only negative I got going on is we don't have 10 hours to chat, but I think it's just the beginning of the friendship. I want to pivot into some of the mental health stuff, but before I do, I got to ask you selfishly, what was your favorite role and why?
I don't know that I have a favorite role, you know, but I can say...
And I should say so far, because you're just...
Yeah. There's two roles for me that, you know, I loved Warrior because of what it did. I loved what it was, and I loved what it did for me. It allowed people to see me, right? And so I that role to me will always be in my heart as the most important thing I ever did. It really was. It was a pivotal moment in my career, whatever career I have, right? And then, you know, because it was a four season arc of a character I got to develop and envelop and then see it through was Kingdom. You know, it was beautiful writing, and it was a challenge every day, and there was a big piece of me in that character. And I absolutely loved it. And I have to tell you, one more movie I loved doing, and I thought it was a badass film, was The Purge: Anarchy. You know, it was awesome. A throwback, like those 70s movies, like Escape from New York. I loved, and I just was making believe I was, you know, Kurt Russell. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And there was another one. Was it Election Year?
Election Year, yeah.
Those movies were great.
Yeah. And I think we're going to do one more, and it's going to be focused around that character. So and fingers crossed, I'm hoping we get to do that before I am too old.
to be honest with you, all these movies were awesome. And also, I just want to say this. The Warrior, based on getting to know you now and knowing that you love the fight and all that stuff, like Warrior, like talk about the perfect storm. Like you were available and it was your friend and the perfect role at the perfect time.
Yeah, man. You know, and Gavin O'Connor, to his credit, and I love him, and he's a dear friend, and I'll always be indebted to him. the character wasn't on the page. He wasn't. And he said to me, you know, we call each other Bubba. He goes, Bubba, you need to create this. I need to film you doing what you think this guy would do. You fill in the blanks, man. I'm trusting you to make this guy one of the other leading roles in the movie. And I said, I got it. And I went down and I lived with Greg Jackson, who's one of the greatest MMA coaches on the planet. And I went down and I lived with him and I watched and I studied and we had a lot of fun. And then he came back up and he was a technical advisor on the movie. And whenever I was in that corner, I'd look at Greg and go, what would you say? What would you say? What would you say? He said, say you don't have a house. You lose, you don't have a house. And so
these are my favorite lines ever.
Right. And they were flying in and out of my head, you know, and it was fantastic. It was the most creative thing I had ever done. And
he's not your brother. He's in the way.
He's not your brother. He's in the way. That was my line. That was my line.
literally one of my favorite movies of all time. And I remember when I saw it, like I thrive off inspirational stuff. I just love it. If I'm ever in a dark place, like I watch these movies and they just get me so excited, so drunk. Yep. That movie, one of my favorites ever, got me so good. And specifically your lines, and just awesome and so emotional, so well done, everything. Yep.
Perfect. And that's Gavin O'Connor. Gavin O'Connor's 6'5", was an All-American linebacker, University of Pennsylvania, Ivy League, brilliant mind, huge body. Badass athlete, had it all, like really was, and then struggled. He had a father that was a super detective in New York in the 70s. He had this tumultuous relationship. So thematically in his films, there's always that father-son struggle, brother-brother struggle.
Understood.
And there's the it's almost a little over-sentimental, that feeling of beating the odds, you know. By the way, I like things that are a little over-sentimental, a little sad. I do, man, especially when it comes to sports movies. I'm crying. I'll give you a quick story. Lionsgate sent me to New York to see a cut of the movie, Warrior. I was in LA, and they said, one person's going to be in there with you, and his name's Robert De Niro. He wants to see the movie. So I'm sitting in the theater. I'm figuring De Niro will be what? He sat next to me. He doesn't even know who I am or I'm in the movie. 3/4 of the way through, he's crying. And I'm going, oh my God, Robert De Niro's sitting next to me crying, watching the movie. He's crying. He subsequently, right after that, called Gavin O'Connor and asked him to direct him in Lombardi, about Vince Lombardi. And Gav was like, I need a break from sports movies. He had directed Miracle, the great
I remember, movie. Kurt Russell,
yep. Yeah, so anyway, I digress. But I loved, I love doing The Purge because I love those 70s and 80s movies, those kind of campy. And it just got, I got to kind of fashion the character. It wasn't written that way, but I got to fashion this character after like basically Kurt Russell in Escape from New York.
Yeah.
And it worked. Yeah, it was great. It was great fun.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I agree with you 100%. And I imagine the Marvel movies are fun too, just from that set.
Yeah, and by the way, when I did Captain America, both of those Captain Americas, Marvel wasn't Marvel yet. Right. Marvel was still in its infancy stage as a studio. Nobody, they had done just Iron Man, right? Yeah. And it was successful. Captain America was with, you know, nobody knew who Chris Evans was. Nobody really knew Chris Evans. He just looked like the All-American, you know, he'd been in a couple of movies. And so it was kind of just fun to go and be in this comic book movie. And it was big, like they spent a lot of money and we had a blast, man. Everybody became friends. And then when I went back and did Endgame, I mean, it was like, wow, look what this thing became. Yeah. And now Marvel, I mean, you hear Quentin Tarantino talk about how Hollywood has been Marvelized. Like either there's those movies, which everybody shows up for, or there's every other movie, which kind of struggles to find an audience. It's an interesting place we are in cinema these days.
Yeah. And that movie, just touched upon that, it was so badass because it had a different tone, probably because of the Russo brothers or whoever. It was just different. It was like a spy movie. It was like a cool action spy movie that was also Marvel.
Right. I think as a movie, it's still the best. It was a great script.
Robert Winter Soldier?
Yeah, Winter Soldier.
I was watching last night while I was doing work, the elevator scene. Where you're like, Cap, it's nothing personal.
Yeah, I mean, it was all great, and it was very little special effects. You know, nowadays all these movies are so heavy with the special effects, and that was a real movie, Robert Redford. Yeah. I mean, now everybody works for Marvel. When I did the Avengers, we all had cameos in the Avengers movie. Endgame, they had their 10-year anniversary in Atlanta where we shot that. And everybody who's ever been in a Marvel movie showed up on stage to take a photo with all of Kevin Feige and Stan Lee. And I'm standing next to Cheadle and Pratt, and we're looking over, and there's Robert Redford. It was, if a bomb had dropped, it would be the end. Hollywood, like that's I mean, every fantastic female actress was there, and you realize how powerful they've become. I mean, they employ everybody, so yeah, there you have it.
So cool. Pivoting for a second, I want to talk about mental health. It's one of the things that you're so big on right now, and I know you lost two people very close to you. I know you don't like to use the word suicide. They took their own life, specifically. And look, like, how can we be better? Is it talking about this stuff more? Is it not holding this stuff in? Like, what do you want to see more of?
Well, I think what you're doing is critical. I think, you know, you said it best when, you know, you said you grew up in a household that, you know, talking about, you know, your vulnerabilities wasn't necessarily on the forefront of your mind. And I think that doesn't serve us as men.
Yeah.
I grew up in a house where you just didn't talk about how I felt. Nobody gave a shit how I felt, right? And that's wrong. You know, the first person I lost this year was my boy Chris Uvain, who was my manager, who was my business partner. He was been my friend for 25 years. He was very vocal about his depression.
He was.
And about his meds. He was constantly trying to help other people through his struggle. And then he just got into a place where he was just about despondent and could not find a reason to live. And during the process of trying to find the right combination of drugs, he took his life, right? And in a horrific way. And that opened my eyes up to what's going on with men. It's, you know, and I think unfairly, and I always have to be really careful, brother, about how I even talk about this. I think we've vilified men in this country. Like, there are a couple of bad apples who have done some terrible things, but that is not who we are as a group, as men. We are not, we're the guys who are taking care of the sewers, and, you know, Jordan Peterson talks about it, you know, who's on the phone lines and the power lines and in the sewers and who's driving the buses and who's, you know what I mean? We've been taken down to the point of, if we speak too much, how dare we? Right. For and sure. I think we get rid of that before it gets to a point where it backfires and we see more and more men taking their lives or just falling apart and succumbing to alcoholism or drug addiction.
Yeah.
I have three sons. I worry, you know, I have a son who's 25. Like I'm constantly monitoring because I'm worried about what the environment is that this kid lives in now, you know, where I don't know if you feel, but I feel like my friends and I joke about it. It's like, well, you know, we can't say anything. God forbid any of us say anything. You know, we're not allowed to talk anymore. It's like become a thing, you know? And so getting back to it, I think what my friend Chris was doing was really being vocal about his vulnerabilities, about his illness. It's an illness. It's the same as cancer. I mean, he could not fix it. Medication did not help. I used to try to get him to the gym as much as I could. It was hard to get him to the gym. You know, it was hard to get him out.
That does help once he's at the gym.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And every time he'd come to the gym, he'd go, man, I feel so good. I just, so hard for me to get here. And I tell people, you got to work train. You got to get your body. You've got to move. Things have to move around inside you, right?
Yeah.
So he did that. And it was a really tough 3 months. And then 6 months had passed and I started to kind of accept, you know, and started to really be vocal. I did a bunch of podcasts and I really like to talk about it because people need to hear. And when I do, their ears perk up and you can't believe guys just chime in or reach out to me and go, hey, brother, I heard you on the Jay Glazer show. Thank you so much for being a voice. You made me feel good today. Or I get it.
It's like they needed permission. But what you're doing is, and I won't acknowledge you, right? Because the conversations like this are helping to break the stigma so that people can speak up.
Of course, man. And by the way, I deal with my own depression. I deal with my own anxieties. I keep, sometimes I wake up at night and the house is empty and I'm like, am I going to be able to take care of these kids? Like, am I okay? Like you just start and you go, oh, wait a minute. And I make a relationship with that voice and I go, oh, you're here. Oh, hey man, how you doing? You want to screw around tonight with me? Okay. So that, you know, I learned to make
a relationship. That's a good technique. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, oh, what do you, or, you know, I'm on the road and I have anxiety about something and somebody cuts me off and all of a sudden I'm that old Frank Grillo again. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You're here. Oh, why did you show up? Oh, you want to take me down that road, that unhealthy road that's going to lead me to somewhere maybe very dangerous. Go back. I don't need you today. Right? And so, because it's never going away. Listen.
You get to choose what you're available for or what you're not available for.
Right. That's exactly right. Look, I cannot, I'd be lying to you if I said, oh, yeah, I've conquered my short temper. I've conquered it. It's gone. It's not. But when it shows up now, I know it. And now I can talk to it.
Yup, that's correct. Billionaire Mark Cuban is motivating entrepreneurs daily with his Three Commas line of apparel, accessories, and coffee. Three Commas has the softest suede crew tees, a great line of accessories, and the best direct trade Colombian coffee. Join the Three Commas Club on Instagram at Three Commas or visit their website, threecommas.com, to learn more. Thank me later, you dig?
And go, oh, wait, what are you doing here? Oh, you're here because you think I really want to kill the guy in the car. Of course I don't want to kill the guy in the car. He just cut me off. I'm going to turn the other way and forget about it. And so I know it sounds hokey.
No, but it works. It's effective. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Effective. It's effective. So then, so Chris did that. And so 6 months later, I'm starting to get to a place where I'm okay. And, you know, I'm talking to his family a lot and my family. And I have a cousin. He's really my brother. We grew up together in the same household. And I've known him since the day I was born. And we're 2 years apart and we're thick as thieves and we're close. And so he calls me, he's getting divorced. His wife has the kids in Montana. And he said, I need to come and talk to you. Came to my house, it was a Thursday. Could see he was a little down. He was never a depressed guy. Opposite of Chris, never spoke about what was wrong, right? It's and what you learn is, it's not about what people are saying, it's what they aren't saying, right? So he was never telling me anything was wrong, but everything was wrong.
Yeah.
He was telling me everything was okay. He was just feeling a little bad about not seeing his kids. And so he spent 12 hours with me on that Thursday. And then he had to drive to Montana to see his kids. And Sunday, after seeing his kids on Saturday, he went upstairs. He was staying in the same house with his ex-wife, which I told him not to. And he shot himself in the head in a house where his children were. So I said, wait a minute, I can't even comprehend. This was a man who loved his kids more than life itself and never alluded to being depressed in a way that he would even jokingly talk about suicide. And so it was the antithesis of Chris. So I this just happened like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So here I am. And this is a guy who's been in my life every minute of every day since the day I was born, right? Can't get closer.
Right.
And so now I have these two guys who are gone in much different circumstances. And I open my eyes and I say to myself, I gotta be involved somehow. This is a sign from whoever is above that you need to be involved and use whatever platform that I have.
Be proactive. Yep.
To be proactive and to talk about mental health. You know, I have a company that I'm involved with called Contenders Clothing. We make all kinds of underwear and t-shirts and sweatshirts. The Godfather, Top Gun, all the athletes. We have it. And we're now contributing a portion of the proceeds to mental health awareness. So through whatever avenue or outlet I have that I can get people to listen, or I could give back to mental health awareness, that's kind of become my next stage in my life. Because, you know, men need help. Men, I don't care. You know, I know we live in a time where everybody thinks we're equal, and then we're not equal. We're not equal, and it's okay that we're all not equal. But men need help. It's tough times. You know, a lot of people went through COVID for 2.5 years, and you know, we live in a time now where we have inflation again, and unemployment is high, and men are struggling, man. You know, men are struggling, and men need to have a place to talk, to go to know they have a community of other men that will get you through the day. And by the way, in some cases, just getting through the day is enough. Just to get through the day. Get through today, and then we'll deal with tomorrow, right? Yeah. I'm not going to fix you today, but I'm going to fix today.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is awesome because, you know, even when I was saying to you earlier, maybe before we went on air, like when I really started blowing up my community, it was because I really started being really vulnerable and transparent, not even realizing the effect that would have with the community. Would just feel so connected. And
right.
For anybody listening to this right now, like, what's the message here? Like, speak up, go to therapy. It's cool to cry, as I know you say, and let's change the paradigm in regards to if we're struggling, right?
Yeah, macho, you know, it used to be growing up, you know, you were macho if you were a tough guy and, you know, you didn't cry. And now, you know what a tough guy is? Tough guy cries when he's sad. Tough guy talks about why he's sad. Yeah. You know, a tough guy sits down and go, I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. That's a tough guy.
Yeah.
That's a tough guy to me, right?
Brave, takes courage.
That's right. And you know, look, Tyson Fury's a tough guy, right?
Yeah.
That guy, he gets up and he talks about himself, about how, you know, this guy who tried to kill himself.
Yeah.
And what it took for him to get out of that and where it got him. And now he's one of the greatest heavyweights probably ever, right? Exactly. And so there's a guy who's always talking about it. I was just talking with Patty the Batty, the UFC fighter. He has a podcast. There's another guy who's lost some friends to suicide. And, you know, he's so hellbent on mental health awareness. You know, those are tough guys. Those are vulnerable, tough guys who are crying about getting help for each other, you know, and community. Look, there's like 8 blue zones in the world where people live the longest, and there's no real connecting diet or health regime or what have you. There's one through line that each of these places have that are connected, and it's community. They all have a strong sense of community. If I'm down, my neighbor's going to help me, right? Yeah. And that relieves a real lot of anxiety in your life, knowing someone's going to catch you. Someone's going to catch you when you fall, right? And that's what we need to do. We need to stop isolating our sadness.
Yes. Amen, brother. We'll drop the mic right there. It's just the beginning of the friendship. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm much better for it. I know the audience will be as well. About 4 million now. They're very loyal and engaging. What's the best way for the community and the audience to support you, brother?
Is to kind of listen to what I'm saying and pay it forward. You know, you can support me by supporting the people who are out there. If there's somebody you haven't spoken to, if there's somebody that you think has been acting weird, and, you know, instead of like moving away from that, lean into it. You know, behavior is consistent, if anything. And so if behavior becomes inconsistent, go in and find out why. And you know, hopefully it's a conversation and it makes the person feel better. But in some cases, it's going to take more and you'll be rejected because that person doesn't want to share. But make the time. Forget about bystander apathy, because there's nobody waiting next to you that's going to help the person. Yep. You have to be the one. And that's how you could support me, is to let's support each other in making sure that we're okay, man.
That's why I always ask them when I see someone like that, I ask them, how are you, twice. How are you? Good, good. How are you really?
Right. How are you really? Right. Yeah. And by the way, the good, good answer is a very clear answer. Good, good. Or yeah, yeah. Or yeah, I'm always like, oh, wait, you said it twice.
Yeah.
Okay. What's up?
Yeah. Hell yeah. How can I personally support you, Frank?
You know, brother, let's stay friends and keep an open dialogue. And I'm at FrankGrillo1 is my only social media outlet on Instagram. Feel free to DM me. And if you dare, go watch a movie, Lamborghini, I got out now. That's
hell yeah. Yep.
Yep. It's on Prime right now. It's on Prime and Apple, and it's doing really well and people are digging it. So yeah, that's, you know, if you choose to watch a movie and I'm in it, that's great. Helps my kids eat.
I love it. I could personally guarantee all Frank's movies are awesome. I can't wait to check out the movie as well. Hang out for one sec, Franco. I want to connect with you after. I just want you to know the definition of perspective, reinvention, and vulnerability, from taking your life experience to spreading positivity, light, and deep truths. You're a true gladiator, role model, and beacon of hope for anybody coming up today with big goals and aspirations. I could personally guarantee your best is yet to come. Keep on spreading your wings and leaving your mark on this world. So much love and respect for you. Thank you so much for stopping by and dropping these priceless nuggets today, Frank.
Amen, brother. And thank you for doing what you're doing and for having me on and for letting me talk so much.
That was too much fun. That was awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
That was great.
You coming out to New York anytime soon? Let's stay connected.
Yeah. I think I am. I have to go through Toronto. I got to do something for Lamborghini. I think I'm going to go through New York to see my brother. So where are you?
I'm in Manhattan in the Big Apple.
Oh, great. That's it. So, I mean, that's where I lived for the past 25 years in Tribeca.
I know you did. You ever make it?
So do you have my phone number?
No.
Take my phone number down.
Okay.
And then text me your info.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.